Pray. Oh God, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day, and for the opportunity to be here together. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us in this time of togetherness, to draw our hearts together and bind them in you, and to guide the words that are spoken and the words that each of us hear. May your Spirit be our inspiration and our interpretation, our interpreter. We pray these things in the name that can make miracles like this happen and even more, the name Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I am a little afraid of being too loud. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Does anybody? Yeah, because I'm a bit of a yeller. I'd say just I get excited, right? I get a little excited. Okay, first thing I need to do, as I always do, and I explain this to people that I haven't seen before. Hey, how's it going? I take off my glasses so I can't see you, because if you look grumpy, then I don't know, and if you look happy, it won't go to my head. So there we go. This way, I'm sort of on my own. I built myself a nice little bubble up here. The last time I was here, I remember, I love these split chancels. Well, it's not a split chancel, the way it's worked out here, because we put the drum set right up here, and then we set all the guitarists down below. The bass guitar, there was a bass guitar up there, and the keyboard was up there beside the drums. Was anybody here for that, when the Heretics came and played at your church? There were about, I would say, 50 people here. It was a good, we had a good time. Anybody? No, nobody remembers that? Or not willing to say? Okay, that's good. Good. wise, very smart. I have been here before, and I'm actually very, very excited and very grateful to the leadership team, Rose Hannah and Ricky and Michelle and of course Sharon your choir director. What's that? Alexis. That's a beautiful name, Alexis. Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited, and I've always wanted to preach, believe it or not, at either St. Paul's or Wilmot, mostly because I am a bit of a fanboy of the very Reverend Dr. Peter Short. And so I've always wanted to preach anywhere that he was. So not because of you, Ricky, sorry, but yes, because of Peter. He was a big part of my call into ministry, and so you can blame him. Please do, for me following through and becoming a part of the United Church. Let's not go there, because instead I want to talk about awesome names like Alexis. There's another awesome name. No, it is. It's a very, very good name. I have another sort of modern sounding name that's ancient, and that name is Tabitha. And the reason why I want to talk to you about that name is twofold. One is because it's my wife's name, so I am particularly fond of that name. I think it's a beautiful name. And the name means something, though, and it's in the book of Acts. It tells us the name Tabitha is actually the Hebrew word for gazelle. So when we hear today, it says, my love comes like a gazelle. It's like, my love comes like Tabitha. And I like that. I really like that because she does, right? If you ever see her, though, this is a little bit of a biblical. Some of you probably already know this because it is in the book of Acts. Because in Greek, the name Tabitha is not Tabitha. That's the Hebrew version. In Greek, it's actually Dorcas. So if you ever see her, say hi, Dorcas. I actually love the name Dorcas. Everybody gets a giggle out of it. I wanted to name our kids one of our children Dorcas, but Tabitha said, "You are cruel." But I think it's a beautiful name. It means. Like, it means gazelle, it means deer, right? Oh, how beautiful. Beautiful. And that's what we have today. We started off with the Song of Solomon, and we have this. It's not beautiful is actually not the right word for the reading. It really is sexy. It is. And this is, the Song of Solomon was forbidden reading. Song of Solomon, there are two books in the Bible where there was a period of time where you had to be 25 years old and be studying in religion, studying for the priesthood, to even be allowed to read two books of the Bible. And one of them was Song of Solomon, and the other one was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is actually much graphic, very graphic. I always think about that when we give Bibles to like the kids and stuff. I'm thinking, oh, don't open it up to Ezekiel, please. But you know, the Song of Solomon is a little gentler, a little kind, a little kinder, a little bit more like the honeymoon phase of the marriage when everybody's still cooing and awing. You know that thing that just will not last because it is not the whole of love. It's not true love. It's not challenged love. And this is where we're going to get to. But anyway, I want to start a little bit talking about this sexiness. Are you guys okay with that? Are you comfortable? A little awkward? No? Okay, go for it. It's his fault now. It's Ricky's, Richard Boley, the Reverend Richard Boley told me I can say sexy in church. Good. Because really, this is something that we are, we have something to say about. Because how can I talk about this current generation? I mean, I'm talking about my own and yours too and ours and what we've done to this beautiful thing called sex and this beautiful thing called passion and love is in the Song of Solomon, we have this image of what this is supposed to be for us. It's supposed to be this, that the rain is over, the winter is over, and now the fig tree blossoms. And I've never bitten into a fresh fig, but I was picking strawberries the other day. And you pick a nice strawberry that, if you took it home, it would be rotten. And you just bite into it, and it just dribbles the juice. And you go, oh, man, this is good. Right? And this is the kind of reading that we have. And this is how, this is supposed to be our relationship with sexuality, is that this is something that's very good, right? It is. But what we've done with it in our current generation is we've gone and made it into a commodity. And this is a horrible thing, something that can be bought and sold. And we have a problem right now. We have a big problem, and we don't talk about it. We have a huge problem with sex right now in our culture and sexuality. And the problem is this, that over 80% of high school boys consume pornography weekly. And over 50% of high school girls. So more than half of our high schoolers are getting this image of sex that is something that is not. And you're not talking about like the way it was when I was growing up. My friend would find the Playboy under his father's bed and we'd go and we'd look at it and kind of giggle. This is not that kind of thing. We have a problem. We have a problem. And that the pornography industry makes more than the Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, and the National Football League combined. It masses more income than those three things combined. And if you don't know all of you know somebody that will go on and on and on about one of those, right? It's not a playoff season anymore, so I can't really talk about NHL. And I am a big fan of both football and baseball. But we know people wear the jerseys out, walking out. These are things that we know are in our culture. These are things that, anybody who thought that there isn't somebody here that knows intimately something about baseball, hockey, or football, who are you? No? Oh, nobody. What's wrong? Oh, my goodness, maybe it's the wrong crowd. Anyway, That's all right. They're out there, the people that are out there. But there's another knowledge that we have. There's a knowledge. And how do you know how we produce knowledge? Is that it's through the consumption of it. And so we have a problem. And so, what can I compare this current generation? It's like saying, you promised me something you wouldn't deliver. And when I think about that, I think about when I was growing up in the good old port city of St. John, New Brunswick, when I was very young, I have very, very fond memories of going to a place that some of you will remember, but some of the younger ones here may not. So when you get to a person of my age, which is not 4 but 40, so I thought it was quite nice. So I have these hearts too. There you go. This is what we saw earlier, but I like this. Anyway. When I was growing up in St. John, I remember we used to go to the Woolco. Anybody remember the Woolco? Okay, now we're getting somewhere. That's good. So there's a lot of people here who have never heard of the Woolco, but we've got maybe 15% that admit to it. admit to going to the Woolco. I used to love going to the Woolco. I don't know why. I just have these memories of going with my grandma, with my nan to the Woolco, and going and hiding underneath the racks of clothes and running through the Woolco. I remember it. And what happened to the Woolco? You know what? Does anybody know what happened to the Woolco? What's there now? What the Kmart came in, but particular to the Woolco in St. John, it was the Walmart that went into the place where the Woolco was in St. John, I believe. But I do also want to talk about Kmart too, because Kmart, you know, I worked at the Kmart for a while. I worked at the electronics section of the Kmart. Has anybody ever gotten their watch battery changed at the Kmart? In Fredericton, it might have been me, okay? Because that's what I did. I had two jobs at the Kmart, two jobs. One job changed watch batteries for people who weren't comfortable enough to do it themselves for free. You didn't pay for doing it. You just bought the battery and I'd change it for you. And my second job was to make sure that that the young riffraff didn't steal cassette tapes. What can I compare this generation? They want to take their cassette tapes and CDs and shove them down their shirts, and so we're going to hire a guy to go watch them. So that was me at the Kmart. At the Kmart, there's also this place it's a place of deep memory that I know is gone now, called the Sears. Oh wait, it's not gone yet, is it? But it's going, right? It's going, and it is. It's just the truth. It's the truth, because the Sears is this thing that doesn't exist anymore, called the middle class, the comfortable class. We don't like comfort. I mean, we do, obviously, or we wouldn't do church the way we do, right? Okay. Duck. Anyway, the the board members now are not happy. Hold on to that. And point it toward this direction. No, the lovely people support them. Okay, I remember going to the Sears too. One of the things I used to like to do at the Sears, so I was a bit of a hippie, a bit of a undesirable, if you will. I used to have very, very long hair. And I'd go into the Sears in my ripped jeans and my Nirvana shirt, and I'd go and see how long it would be for them to kick me out if I went and sat on their couches. And then we'd go with friends and sit on the couch at the Sears and then time to see how long it would take us to get kicked out. That was our fun, right? See, we didn't have cell phones, right? This is when you don't have cell phones, this is the kind of trouble you get into. And I always swore that I would never go shop at the Sears because they didn't treat me right when I was young. I did go shop there, though, but that's because where else are you going to buy a refrigerator, I guess? But anyway, yes. Oh, I forgot one, which is the Zellers, too, right? The Zellers. You remember what they said at the Zellers? You remember their tagline? Does anybody remember their tagline? The lowest price is the law. The lowest price is the law. Let's keep that one and just tuck it in there for a second. I want to just briefly talk about the Target too, right? Because I had you know why the Target didn't last in Canada? This is a true story. The CEO got a big, big payout because he failed. He said, quote, "Canadians don't mind paying a little more." That's what they thought of Canadians. We all get excited because you go down to Bangor to the Target and it's even cheaper than the Walmart. And you go, yes, we're going to get the Target. But the CEO of Target Canada said, Canadians don't mind paying a little more. Well, guess what? The lowest price is the law. And that's why we're left with the Walmart. I boycotted Walmart for a long time. But now there's no Kmart and there's no Zellers. And I mean, I guess there's a Sears. I don't even know which ones are open anymore. I wouldn't chance it. But the thing is this is part of what we want. We do want. We want things cheap and we want them now. And this is a problem. And it causes a problem for us. This attitude that we have, which destroys retailers, and that's okay because that land has its own rules. But guess what? That land and our land is no different. Where you put your money, your heart will be also. So we know your heart's not with the Woolco or the Kmart or the Zellers. We know that. And we know it's not enough with the Sears, and it wasn't with the Target. The Costco and the Walmarts, that's where our heart is, because that's where our money goes too. We have the same attitude towards sex and our relationships. that they should do something for us right now, and if they don't do it well enough and they don't do it to our satisfaction, then they're just worth crumpling up and throwing away. That is not the way that God works. And we have this beautiful passage, Jesus saying to these people that are worn out and burned out. And, I mean, if we think that our generation is the first lazy one, I mean, I always like reading this because we see that kids have always been kids, right? The next generation, to what can I compare this generation? But Jesus also says, are you tired? Are you tired yet? We saw all these things, you see all these things come and go, you keep on going out, you think you're going to buy the thing that's going to satisfy you, and I have this problem, I feel miserable, and I'm like, oh, if I only buy another Nintendo game, I'll be happy. And I go out and I buy another Nintendo game, and I'm happy for a minute, I'm happy for, well, maybe 20 hours, and then it's the emptiness starts to creep in again. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Come to me, and I will give you rest. We've all been looking for the same thing forever. And Jesus says, and I've got it, which means that we've got it in the church. This is the thing that we have. This is the thing we have, the Woolcos and the Kmarts and the Walmarts don't have. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. The winter is over. The rains have cleared up. The turtle doves are back. We can be lovers again. We can be lovers in that kind of good way that picks a juicy, ripe strawberry and goes, ah, because that's the way we're supposed to live with life. That's supposed to be our relationship with God, that kind of juicy, wonderful, erotic kind of love God has for us. So erotic that God wants to reach down and put new life into us like Mary at Christmas. It's hard to do, though, when we've got so much stuff. It's hard to do. Even in Solomon's time, Song of Solomon, you know, it wasn't like when we talk about love, it wasn't talking about gold. It was talking about the rains and winter. We have to get out of our boxes. We got to get out of our buildings. The love of God is dulled by stuff. Because that's where our heart is. It's where our money is now, right? But people are searching. The people of my generation who said, I wanted to talk, but you said you didn't have time. Well, look, I mean, I said those same things to my parents. Now I've got kids, and now I kind of understand a little better. All the things I said I'd never say, I say. The cycle keeps going. And in the midst of it, it gets tiring. And Jesus says, come to me. And when in those moments, sometimes when I'm just weak enough and tired enough, the grace of God becomes apparent to me. It's something I've been chasing. And anytime you start to chase it, it disappears because it's not like that relationship with God. That's another sermon. It's for another day. But what I want to stress to you is that you are the stewards of something far more valuable than buildings and stuff, far more valuable than anything you can buy at the Costco. You are the stewards of meaning, of life, of love so good that it can erase all of the strange ways we think it can be found, that can even heal a generation who don't know what it actually means to be lovers. Because we all come to this place broken, and Jesus offers us healing, and so in turn, I hope that you will go out and say to people, come. You who are thirsty, and find the water that you can drink that will mean you'll never thirst again. Come, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, to this people and this place. And may we be healed of our want, instead find what we need. like a gazelle. Come.